It's 4 minutes after 11 o'clock here in the Pacific time zone. You're tuned to the stations of Spokane Public Radio and the Piano Bench. And it's a very special piano bench because we have a guest in our studio. Her name is Elizabeth Hamilton. She is a junior at Whitworth University, where she is studying both violin and piano and has a performance major in both. And she is in our studio. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Jim.
Really nice to have you with us. And tell us a little bit about yourself, just straight out of the starting gate. When did you start studying piano? How far back was that?
Yeah, so my mother is actually a pianist, and I started with her by the time I was probably 4 years old, and I've been pretty much playing my whole life.
What point did you decide that this was going to be a real focus in your life?
Actually, not until about a year ago. When I started at Whitworth, I was taking piano lessons, and I was studying piano, but I wasn't a piano major. At the time, I was violin performance and music education. But about a year ago, I made the decision to add a piano performance major as well. So, and then I dropped the education major and took on a minor in leadership studies. So, yeah, it was about a year ago.
All right. Well, very good. And you have a most interesting program to play for us today. This is music of Bach, Beethoven, Friedrich Chopin, and a composer who we'll have to talk about just a bit when we get there, an American by the name of Lowell Lieberman. But we're going to start in a pretty familiar territory with some music by Ludwig van Beethoven. What's the piece you're going to play?
This is Beethoven's Sonata Opus 90 in E minor. This will be the first movement. And this piece is a unique sonata because, unlike most sonatas, which have four movements, this piece only has two movements. And this piece was composed in 1814, so it was considered one of Beethoven's early late works. So this is sort of the point where you see some of the late Beethoven evolving some, you know, more abstract phrase structure, more obsession with counterpoint, less melodic conventional structure from the classic era. And so this is a really unique piece because it reveals sort of an inner Beethoven, the more introverted, introspective Beethoven rather than the early classic Beethoven, and yet it still retains elements and structures from the early Beethoven.
All right, very good. Well, let's hear it. So our guest in the studio, Elizabeth Hamilton, will now play for us this music of Ludwig van Beethoven, his Sonata Opus 90.
Thank you.
Music of Ludwig van Beethoven, played by our guest in the studio this morning, Elizabeth Hamilton. Elizabeth, very nice. Thank you for that. Beethoven is a larger part of your life now, at least for the foreseeable future, because you are playing a movement of a Beethoven concerto with the Whitworth Orchestra next month.
Yes.
How is that a different experience from the orchestra bit aside? How is your part, in your estimation, different from the sonata that you just played?
Yeah, well, I will be playing the first movement from Beethoven's first piano concerto, Opus 15. And so the Opus 15 and the Opus 90 are very, very different in character, in form. And I think it's mostly a matter of the early Beethoven versus the late Beethoven, the young and the youthful and the classically oriented Beethoven versus the late and the more mature and the introspective Beethoven. And both are a joy to play. The Opus 15 is just really, really fun. It's very light. It's very almost a bit Mozartian in character, but the Opus 90 is where you see the really mature side of Beethoven. And so it's almost playing a different composer, even though both pieces are by Beethoven.
Mm-hmm. Right. Fascinating how his styles, most composers, their styles do evolve and change. And it seems especially true with Beethoven as he was forging on ahead with what would become the music of the Romantic era. Well, we're going to take a step into the present with the next piece that you're going to play. It's a nocturne by the American composer Lowell Lieberman, who I must mention is very much alive and well and teaching in New York. Have you played any of the music of Lieberman before?
I haven't, no. I've listened to some of his other works. He's most well known for probably his Gargoyles, and so I've heard those pieces, and I've heard some of his other works, a flute sonata recently, but I haven't really played much of Lieberman besides this nocturne, and it's very interesting because I've heard many of his other nocturnes, and each one is so different in character.
And what is the character of this piece? How might you describe that?
I would describe this nocturne as almost being a bit expressionistic. It starts out very, like a conventional nocturne, almost like a Chopin or even, actually he got his inspiration from John Field primarily. But it's very quiet, it's very lulling, and yet halfway through the piece there's a bit of disturbance. There's a bitonal section which perhaps provides a feeling of tension, a feeling of something being not right. And then later on there is a more dramatic section that is very dissonant and is almost like what my professor, Dr. Shefflin, described as a knife stabbing you in the back.
That's contemporary music for you. Yes, it just attacks you when you're not looking. And for those who are not initiated in the fine points, if you're talking about something that's bitonal, you are talking about
A section where there are two elements of tonality going on, so essentially two different keys going on at the same time.
All right. And is this split between right hand, left hand in different key signatures? All right, we'll be listening for that. So let's hear some music from our time now, played by Elizabeth Hamilton. This the Nocturne No. 2 by American composer Lowell Lieberman. Thank you. Music of contemporary American composer Lowell Lieberman, played by our guest Elizabeth Hamilton in our KPBX studio on the piano bench of a Tuesday morning here in the Inland Northwest. I'm Jim Tevenin, and we take delight in bringing the sounds of younger players to you. And that's a remarkable piece that takes us many places. And there is the backstab that happens pretty prominently right in the midst of it, but it ends so calmly. It lives up to its name in many places, the Nocturne No. 2 by Lowell Lieberman. Thank you for playing that.
Thank you.
Do you get to explore much in the way of contemporary music as part of your studies?
I do. Last semester, actually, for part of my junior violin recital, I played the Subito by Lutoslawski for violin and piano. So that was one of the most contemporary pieces I had played. I think it was composed in 1992. And so it was a really unique experience to work on that. And I have played a few other contemporary works during my time studying at Whitworth. So that's been a great experience.
Yeah, and just to explore that for a second longer, there is a musical vocabulary that's part of contemporary music, which is quite a bit different in many aspects from more traditional forms and certainly more the periods of the past and composers of the past. Is or has it been for you in approaching these pieces a matter of learning a new language, or did it seem to flow naturally from your other studies?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't think of contemporary music necessarily as learning a new language, but I think of rather expanding the language that I was already established in, because all contemporary music, of course, builds upon music from the past. And so, of course, the harmonic lexicon that they have is different. It still is a product from past music.
All right. Fair enough. Nicely put. Okay, well, let's move ahead to the past now. And for many of us, the fount from all music flows, Sebastian Bach. And have you played much Bach? And this is probably a silly question, but I'll ask it anyway. Have you played much Bach along the way in your studies?
I have.
And this is a prelude and fugue from Volume 2 of the Well-Tempered Clavier. Again, there is such variety in, like in the Lieberman piece, there is such a wide range of things happening, a wide range of approach to that piece by Lieberman. Bach, throughout the Well-Tempered Clavier, takes us in all kinds of different directions. So in this particular prelude and fugue in F, where does he take us? What's the itinerary?
Yeah, so this is a unique piece because I feel like the prelude and fugue, although both in F major, aren't too related in many ways. The prelude is more or less an organ piece. You can hear the way he connects everything with a lot of finger pedaling. It's very, very connected. It's very flowing. It's very organ-like, and so because the piano did not exist when Bach wrote these pieces, he most likely wrote this one for an organ. And the fugue is very different because it was probably written for harpsichord. A lot of the runs that he had are very idiomatic for harpsichord writing. And the fugue is a really fun piece to play. It's in three voices, and it's actually more of a jig. It's in compound meter, duple meter, so it's very danceable. It's very dance-like.
All right, well, we have our dancing shoes at the ready. And so Elizabeth Hamilton will now play for us the music of Sebastian Bach from the second of those immense and great volumes of preludes and fugues in each of the keys, from Volume 2 of the Well-Tempered Clavier, the prelude and fugue in F.
Thank you.
Music of Johann Sebastian Bach, played by Elizabeth Hamilton in our KPBX studio, part of the Piano Bench, on the 6th of April, 2021. Elizabeth, thank you so much for that. That was a wonderful feeling of dance that you were able to summon in that in the fugue. And there's something about the lightning speed of those runs that does remind you very much of the sound of the harpsichord. So very, very nicely done. Well, we are going to turn the page now and get on to the last piece that you're going to play for us here today, and that's music of Friedrich Chopin.
Yes.
And where does Chopin rank in terms of the composers? If you could just tomorrow begin work on another piece, and you have just the whole list of composers there, where is Chopin on that list? Is it he one of your real faves, or is he just a composer who you really like to play?
Yeah, well, Chopin is a composer I've always really loved. Probably not my favorite composer ever, but very beautiful piano music. And of course, Chopin was a virtuoso pianist, and so essentially everything he wrote was piano music, and some of his music is the most difficult in the piano repertoire. And so I love Chopin for many reasons, but of course it's very different from music of Bach, for instance. So I don't, in a way, feel like it would be fair to really compare Chopin with other composers, because Chopin has a sort of unique beauty in his own right, but it's different from music of Beethoven or Mozart or Bach.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's, I think as you go through life, as you encounter more music and more music, there are composers who kind of march to the front in terms of just having a resonance with kind of your inner self, who match up most closely. Who might be at the top of your list in terms of this resonance?
Bach.
Okay, there we go. All right. That solves that. Let's move on now. Tell us a little bit about this. This is one of Chopin's ballades, this one in the key of A-flat.
Yes, this is his third ballade. He wrote four total, and this one's a very, what I think of almost, this is a trite word, but I think of it as a cute ballade. It's very melodic. It has a lot of really, really just gorgeous, really light melodies to it. There are moments of intensity. There are moments of really, really passionate moments, but overall, this is just a really easy piece to listen to, and it's just really fun to play.
All right, very good. We look forward to hearing it. So, Elizabeth Hamilton in the KPBX studio playing the ballade in A-flat, music of Friedrich Chopin.
Thank you.
Music of Friedrich Chopin, played by our guest in the studio today, Elizabeth Hamilton. Elizabeth, that was fun. That's quite the workout for the player, though. So thank you very much for playing that, and also for playing the rest of your program, the Bach, Beethoven, and Lieberman pieces as well.
Thank you.
And it's been a delight to have you here. And I do have to say one more thing, which is happy birthday.
Thank you.
Not everybody gets to play on the radio on their birthday. So congratulations for all the great work that went into this. And we wish you the best.
Thank you so much.